right now on VFN TV. Could you imagine doing an interview in Iran and the person you're interviewing, although he's an American journalist, gets put in jail? And can you imagine the president sending over $400 million cash to be able to bail him out? This potentially is what happened. We're going to talk about this and so much more, including a prophetic word given in the marketplace that even though the enemy, we're seeing him come from the east and the west, that God is going to mow them over and the church is going to multiply and God is going to win right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
It's going to be a physical battle. It's a physical battle. It's going to be on the ground.
God says things are going to get so bad soon that the draft is going to be reinstated in the United States of America.
I ask that the Congress declare a state of war.
Chuck Pierce said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America's going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? As soon as that was said, that America is going to go back to the 1960s. The 60s were horrific. John F. Kennedy, the assassination of John F. Kennedy, you had the riots, we had Vietnam War, we had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. Everything started breaking apart in America.
The people of God, the church, the people of Israel, always ignore the prophets, right? It's what we do.
Holy Spirit said this year will be a very unusual wind and an unusual year on many levels. A phrase will be repeated, I have never seen anything like this before.
Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time.
If my people who are called by my name will do these things, I'll heal their land. And he has always worked through a remnant.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates his mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ because time is of the essence and the waters are abundant for harvest.
And the Lord said, I'm raising up columns. I'm causing alignment to occur and I will be sending forth column after column after column until the enemy is pushed out of your sphere.
God said, I've released my spirit. And the Spirit is going to rush to you.
Like we're called as one to be able to move in unity. And so, you know, where are we? Where are you connected at? Where are you rightly related?
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
This is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Can you imagine you're going to go to Iran and you're going to tour the city and enjoy the foods? Well, that's what Anthony Bourdain did with CNN. But when he went there, you're not going to believe what he saw painted so large that you couldn't even imagine this being taking place. And I want you to understand the context of this. This is a nation that people who sang the song, Happy, got threatened with something like 70 lashes because they were being too happy. I mean, everything's controlled in this nation. But look at what we saw. Can you imagine a building-sized picture of your president by one of their generals? Well, that's exactly what they saw. Take a look.
Tehran, city of nearly 8 million people, capital of Iran.
This neighborhood feels kind of like their neighborhoods of Rome. This feels a lot like it.
After all this time, I finally had my chance to see a country I'd heard so much about.
The weather's nice, too. I don't know what I was expecting, but it's nice.
A big blank spot on nearly every traveler's resume.
Merci. Delicious. Thank you.
So, why do we have a picture of our president in Iran, a place that is thoroughly controlled by the government? Well, look at this picture right here. It was like, I'm watching this program about food in Iran in 2014, and this is the picture of our president in Iran. This is the country that's after this 2014 interview. They interviewed an American journalist, and the journalist went to jail for expressing his opinion about the government. This is the nation where our president negotiated nuclear treaty with, where they could have the ability, the potential to build nuclear weapons, nuclear centrifuge, all that different stuff. This is the nation that our leadership cut a deal with to be able to release funds that sanctions held back for many years, like hundreds of billions of dollars. It's reportedly in January of this year that we traded, it looks like it at least, over $400 million for that journalist and a couple other prisoners that they held prison. And look what's in the city. What's going on? How do we understand this? Was it really money for the prisoners? Is this really going on? Well, Glenn Beck breaks it down real shortly. What really took place when they transported over $400 million of American taxpayers' money in an unmarked plane and delivered it to the guys in that picture beside our president? Let's take a look.
So we had the sanctions lifted, which is worth billions of dollars. Then we had 7 prisoners of theirs that they wanted, 14 people that are really bad guys that we wanted over here to stand trial, and $1.7 billion. But in exchange, and this is where it gets good, in exchange, they released 4 of our people, and they pinky promised not to do anything bad with nukes. Oh, I feel better already.
These are some of the wildest days taking place. Some of the things you just really cannot even imagine them taking place. But they're happening. These things are really happening. I think about Israel. How many times did Israel get under pressure when you read about it in the Old Testament, and they ran straight to the treasury of that nation, and they gave their money over to somebody they feared. They paid tribute to another nation. It's almost like America's paying tribute to Iran, the enemy, the major sponsor of terrorism around the world, the enemy of Israel. These are just crazy days taking place. What's taking place? We're going to get back from this break. We're going to talk about this because some difficult days are ahead, some difficult days, but God has a plan for us. We're supposed to respond to Him. He says, listen, if we hear His voice and respond, then He'll lead us through these difficult waters and difficult seas. Also, we're going to hear from John Paul Jackson talking about there are going to be riots in the cities. We just saw that take place in Milwaukee. We saw it take place in Dallas. We're seeing it take place in different areas of the nation and the world. Well, the reports are it's going to be so serious that they're going to begin to even raid food trucks. I mean, you look what's taking place in Venezuela right now. That, reportedly, is coming to America. Imagine your sovereignty of your state. Every state has a constitution. You have the United States Constitution, but every state operates under its own constitution. When officers, for example, enforce the laws in your state, they're enforcing the state statute laws, not the U.S. laws. But now imagine if there was no more state constitution for your state. Well, we're going to share a prophetic night vision the Lord gave specifically of that taking place in addition to revival breaking out. We're going to talk about this and so much more after the break. Make sure you join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Where was the Navy? Where was the Navy? Think about it. That was a prophetic word. Where was the Navy? I mean, how could anything happen? I know in this particular airline, you remember the airline that disappeared over in the Indian Ocean?
So Malaysia?
Yeah, just disappeared. It was so beyond our understanding because we thought everything's being tracked,
sure.
Especially an airplane.
Right.
And they've convinced us in that whole thing that it's possible to get off the grid and not know something. Well, imagine if somehow a military force ended up in the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, you look at the map, it looks small, but I've been in the middle of it before. It's big. It's a big area. Myself and Brett Holderbaum was shown by the Lord that one was an aircraft carrier went down in the Gulf.
Wow.
And the sailors came, had to swim to shore, and they were coming on shore, I believe it was, and they were all dripping. They could not believe that a carrier, which is our an aircraft carrier is a sign of our strength. And it sunk. But with me, the Lord had shown me, it was almost like we were preparing for, the nation was preparing for a potential battle coming from the south in this prophetic encounter with God. He's showing me this. And then suddenly we realized that there was no time. It happened faster than we thought. It was a suddenly. Mm. And there was this whole, what do you call the ships that are all together in a fleet?
An armada?
No.
You know, something they come in. You never heard that?
Military, a navy, navy. Anyway, so
a fleet.
That sounds good. I'll take fleet for 200.
All right, take fleet. Yeah. You know, I'm trying to help you here. Go on.
And in the, so you have the battleship to carry all this stuff is coming, but it was all of a sudden it appeared, the battleships did in the Gulf of Mexico, mm-hmm. coming toward the, Florida, predominantly towards the Panhandle area. Actually,
wow.
And everybody panicked.
This is a night vision.
This is a night vision. Everybody panicked, and everybody starts running north. So imagine everybody in the state of Florida starts to run north. They start to run north, and all of a sudden, they start running over the Florida line into Georgia, I guess, in Alabama. And there's this big safe room, and the safe room has, like, steel walls, like four steel walls in it, and it's impenetrable. Huh. But this is a place for the governor. The governor is supposed to be put in this particular safe room. And the governor is the one that leads your state over the state constitution, and just like the president would be over the nation. And the governor of Florida did not make it to the safe room, which that happened today. That would be Governor Scott of Florida,
mm-hmm.
which means the governor's position wasn't safe. But the next thing that even confirmed that was they were handing the constitutional papers, the papers, the sovereignty of Florida, for example, was being passed over the northern borders headed towards D.C.
Wow.
And when you hear about things going national and we need a national police force and, you know, what do we need the state's rights things for? What you're doing is you're doing away with the constitutional rights of your nation, of your state. And that's not the original intent. And once you do that, then you're under a federalized, tyrannical, one-rule government.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times did we see the assistant of President Barack Obama? She was born in Iran.
Valerie Jarrett.
She's right there on CBS Sunday Morning News going, when they came into her office, which used to be Hillary Clinton's office, mm-hmm. she said that. It used to be. And then she said, oh, I was just going around Congress. I mean, she just said it. And when somebody says they're going around Congress, they're going around you mm-hmm. as your representative. So they're going around the states. They're going around Congress. And they're just kind of pushing these things into play. And it's like people are just sitting back. This thing was going to happen suddenly. And now that we're seeing these things come into place, we talked about martial law and how things can come into play. When martial law means basically a general, a military general is put over the entire nation.
Yeah.
Or the region. What we do now, we say things like a state of emergency. That's just semantics. If they put a state of emergency over a city, for example, that's martial law. They can could do anything. Sure. They can supersede any particular law that's out there. And so we're seeing these things take place, but also we're hearing these prophetic warnings. We saw what took place in Venezuela. You hear this warning about John Paul Jackson. It's like it's coming from every angle.
Yeah.
As an earlier program, you saw, you know, how serious this intensive storm is. But listen to John Paul Jackson as he's talking about, you know, that even food trucks, people are going to have raid food trucks because the hunger is going to be so bad. They're going to have to put guards on the food trucks. As a matter of fact, listen to this.
Another headline, food prices lead nations escalating inflation woes. Food prices lead nations escalating inflation woes. And then this headline kind of came just not that long after that, and it said this. Sysco and Kraft considers guards on delivery trucks as food nears 40% of the family budget. Sysco and Kraft considers guards on delivery trucks as food nears 40% of the family budget. And a little bit of what I remember reading, I didn't get to read much about it, but a little bit of what I remember reading had something to do with food was so expensive, people would actually rob food trucks while the driver would be in delivering the food into the store. They would rob food trucks, they tried locking the trucks with padlocks, so the driver had to come out and unpadlock the truck every time. But then they were also beating the truck driver and robbing the food truck, and also using some type of a torch or a saw or something that while the driver was in, then they had this lock mechanism that I guess was hard to get to, but they just cut a hole in the side of the truck They just cut a hole in the side of the truck and went into the side of the truck through the metal of the truck and took the food out while the driver was delivering the food. So Cisco and Kraft apparently one day are going to consider guards on their delivery trucks.
It's happening as we speak at this very moment in Venezuela. It's happening, and they're going into Colombia, and we're seeing that take place.
100,000 people.
A day. John, how far away was it 2% of our food, 2% of our population?
2% of our population produces food for the other 95%, 98% rather. And the average miles that food travels in a truck to get from, you know, the farms to our, you know, plate at home to eat, it's about 1,500 to 1,700 miles.
Which is a lot of population to pass with that food in your truck if people are starving and they're hungry. This generation, I mean, you know, I've had the benefit of watching things grow.
Yeah.
You put stuff in the dirt and fertilizer on it and it grows. But this generation probably doesn't understand that cows do not come from McDonald's. Yeah. You know, that they are raised up in a field.
Yeah. Yeah.
They probably don't understand.
We're so disconnected from what life used to be not too long ago.
Right.
We've become so comfortable and so, you know, caught up with the technology and the conveniences of this world. But most people don't realize that life was you got involved in life. You were up early.
It didn't just happen.
No, you had to work.
And I'm saying that because if you don't know that's how it works, then I got to find the truck. That's where the food actually comes out of. Cows come from a truck. I saw them riding down the road one day. There was cows in the truck. I got to find the truck and rob it. That's if they don't know that it actually came from a farm and that you could have your own cow and that milk does not come from a gallon jug. It comes from, you don't want to know where it comes from, but it just comes, milk comes from.
Yeah. It's really amazing. I just was reading how the farmers, we're and it's, think of what's happened in the West and in our country. We've become really so prideful. History is riddled with so many examples of great nations, great armies, vast armies that you would never think they could fall.
Right.
And it was overconfidence in their ability, overconfidence in their strength,
right,
overconfidence in their wealth, and they were done in.
Right.
And yet today, farmers that are not even shipping food out, it's too expensive to ship food because their fears are the consumers are going to reject them because they have a scratch on a tomato or a...
We have people going through a drive-thru restaurant getting their food in 20 seconds, and they're just like, that took you so long.
Yeah.
I want some free fries with that, right? Something like that. It's like, can you imagine this generation having to plant something in the ground and just watch it grow?
And wait.
And wait. Can you imagine them waiting?
No.
They're going to say, where's the truck?
Yeah,
I got some tools. Where's some truck? You know, and you're going to see people that coagulate and come together, and they're going to have this singleness of mission, which is to acquire things, stuff, and food, and we would call that a gang.
Yeah, but they would see themselves as Robin Hood.
Right.
They would see themselves as legitimately having access to your food.
Right. Only because we have a need.
Right.
Only because we have a need. And this particular History Channel documentary called Armageddon, which talks about an EMP being exploded over the United States.
It was National Geographic that put this together.
Yeah, and that, you know, what happens when things shut down. And they said, this is a very powerful, true quote they said in there. They said that, you know, rich people are nice until they're not rich anymore.
Mm.
And so right now everybody's like, oh, you know, take your time. Why? Because I'm in a car. It's got air conditioning going over me. Has a nice stereo playing, right? You're not sticking to your vinyl seat as you're trying to chug out another gallon of gas to get down the street. And so America's like the poorest person in America is richer than approximately 70% of the world's population. Americans are rich. One particular statement was this, John, that right now if we lost the value of all of our dollars and all we had was gold in America, but we had all the gold that was available on the earth, we still could not live at the lifestyle we're living in right now. That's how rich America is. And there's this demand for more. And so now you're going to look at just what happened in Milwaukee. That's going to begin to happen all over the world and over the United States. As a matter of fact, John Paul Jackson prophesied about riots taking places in cities, but also in Washington, D.C. Let's take a look at what John Paul Jackson said about that.
What kind of things do you see happening over the next, say, 2012?
Riots are coming. Riots in the streets are coming. And if we're not careful, shortly after the next election, the anger will mount so much that we'll end up having martial law declared. And there are six cities in the United States that, and there may be more than six, but I have seen six cities in the United States where martial law was declared.
And where did you
loss
see
of life, loss of life was taking place. So you see Detroit, you see Los Angeles, you see New York, you see Atlanta, you see here in Dallas. Surprisingly, and then there's one other mystery city that I saw, but I don't know the name of the city.
Another headline: Washington D.C. riots. Washington D.C. riots continue. That's all I saw.
So you think about Washington D.C. I'm thinking about Brett Holderbaum's prophetic word that he got. Pat, get that word for me. Brett Holderbaum.
But we've been seeing these riots in Missouri. We saw these riots in Baltimore. We've seen these riots.
We saw
in Dallas.
Well, Dallas, we just saw the murdering of these police officers and the shooting of the citizens in the street. Texas is a strong state.
Yeah.
I mean, when Texas is under assault, you have to understand that everything else could just fall like a leaf. But yeah, Detroit, which we know that, what did the police chief say in Detroit?
The police officers were saying, they have billboards saying, don't come to Detroit, come at your own risk. We can't protect you. Come at your own risk.
Welcome to the city.
Yeah.
Welcome to what the DNC policies will actually do right there. Then L.A., you know, you're looking at L.A., New York, Atlanta. We've seen several words about Georgia and Atlanta. Yeah. Atlanta is hot.
Yeah.
I mean, Dallas is hot. It was 107 degrees in Texas yesterday.
It's unreal. And we haven't seen these type of riots in a generation. 40 years is when we've seen the last time we've seen these.
But the things we're going to see now, because people have been trained up, people have been selling them digital killing games now for so long, they're pumped and they're ready and know how to do something that's just...
And there's nothing like a camera to fuel that stuff that's already, you know, raging.
Right. You know, and Brett Holderbaum, he came to the VFN Dream Center, and God began to show him about Washington, D.C., because John Paul Jackson was talking about that we're going to begin to see. And that was early on when John Paul was saying that. So we're seeing that word come to pass.
Oh, yeah.
But Washington, D.C., the riots have yet to happen. But listen to what the Lord revealed to Brett Holderbaum while he's at the VFN Dream Center about Washington, D.C. and what was going to take place.
The Sunday morning at the Dream Center on April 10th, we were in worship. And I just felt this strong wind blowing through the Dream Center. It was so strong, I could barely stand. And I just began to ask the Lord. I said, Lord, what are you saying? What are you doing? And the Lord gave me a picture, and it was a picture of the coast of Africa and a storm brewing off the coast of Africa. And for those that live in the Gulf Coast region or anywhere in the hurricane area, we always keep an eye on the Gulf Coast starting about June 1st to November 30th, and because that's where the hurricanes, a lot of them come from the coast of Africa, the most severe ones anyways, it seems. So taking it through, the Lord began to speak about how a hurricane is formed, and a hurricane's formed through a tropical disturbance, and then it moves to a tropical depression, and then it becomes a tropical storm, and then it becomes a hurricane. And we all know the severity for those that live on the Gulf Coast, one being the least and five being the greatest. The Lord showed me in this vision about this hurricane going up the east coast of America. And then he showed me a map, and I saw Washington, D.C. And then the Lord began to speak. And the Lord said, he's tearing down the monuments. He's tearing down the monuments, all the monuments that man made. God is tearing them down. He said a fresh wind is going to blow through Washington, a fresh wind. So, Lord, we thank you for just sharing with your people what you're about to do, Father. And, Lord, we are so thankful that you speak to your people. And, Lord, we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise.
So we appreciate, you know, Brett sharing that with us. This is a powerful encounter at the VFN Dream Center. But then notice that the turmoil came. But then fresh wind came after that, a fresh move. We're going to talk about, we'll get back from this break. God gave me on a sabbatical this one prophetic encounter, a very powerful one. And it does talk about the trouble, but it also talks about the results and how the church is going to begin to just grow and multiply because of this tilling up of the soul, if you will. But first, we have this offer for you.
Light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
When anybody preaches disunity, tries to pit one of us against the other through class warfare, race hatred, or religious intolerance, you know that person seeks to rob us of our freedom and destroy our very lives.
With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. I wonder if your husband seems too attached to his mom. Here's Patricia Ashley.
A large amount of our struggle in our relationship was because there was a soul tie between he and his mother. And that thing had to be broken, but it wasn't until we got in the Word that we realized that I was now his wife and his mother was his daddy's wife. Hallelujah!
Well, God tells us to leave our parents and cleave to our spouse, and if we don't, we may find ourselves distracted from what his plan is for our priorities, nurturing the husband-wife relationship. You'll find more time-tested, trusted advice at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
You need to know in whom you believe. You need to know God. It's not enough to know about him, to know of him, but you have to walk with Jesus. You have to have an intimate relationship, because we're entering a season that's going to be some of the worst of times, but at the same time is going to be some of the best of times. And you're going to need to know God. You're not going to be able to, as maybe you've heard said, play church, if you will, as if you could. You're going to need to know him. And so we want to encourage you now. This is the best day. Today is the day of salvation. And we want to encourage you that if you are a believer, begin an abiding relationship with the Lord. What is that? That's when you spend time with God, you read his word, and you allow his word to penetrate your heart. And when it does that, it transforms your life. You walk together with God. You walk united with him. We have a simple plan for you, and you can get it. It doesn't cost you a thing at iabide.org. Go there today. Go there today and sign up for this free plan. And it's kind of a roadmap to help you on a day-to-day basis begin to start setting, you know, that time with God as a priority. And as you do that, it's amazing what God will reveal to you, what he will show you. I mean, children are abiding, and that God's saying some of the most amazing things to them, and they're writing it down. So you just don't want to miss it.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I want to share I was on a sabbatical many, many years ago. And that wasn't many years ago, but the Lord spoke to me on that sabbatical in time of prayer, just seeking the Lord. And he showed me a response to what's going on today. And in this particular night vision, this dream, he showed me Pastor John Kilpatrick, which is a spiritual father to me and a prophet and an apostle. And he was standing in the marketplace. And he begins to declare he begins to send this word out. And the word is like, the enemy is coming from the east and the enemy is coming from the west, coming from both sides. Mm. And the number on this particular enemy is 666. And then 67 was involved in that. And of course you're thinking, well, yeah, that's kind of where we are. But then he says, but don't, the word was, he said, in the stream, he said, we're going to defeat them. He's declaring this out. We're going to defeat them, and we're going to just mow them right over. And the church is going to multiply. When you think about it, when you begin to build or farm, not build, but to plant a farm, the first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to till the soil up. Mm. You're going to have to get the hard ground and make it soft. And this storm is driven by the enemy, by Satan.
Yeah.
I remember very specifically all this data and everything that is being gathered on us is going to be used at some point in time. I was in this particular dream the Lord gave me, and I was watching people just gather all this data together, all this data together, all this data, and all of a sudden I just realized they wouldn't let anybody talk about it, but I knew, you know, this was all this data was going to be used for the beast economy.
Mm-hmm.
But we had whiteboards, basically everybody had a different whiteboard they can write on. So I got up my whiteboard. I don't know if you can see the image right now, but I pulled that and I began to write on mine. I said, listen, I think it was that the number of his name is 666, talking about this is the mark of the beast. I mean, all this data is about controlling folks. Mm-hmm. When you think about this, you have family members. You have five family members in a home.
Right.
None of them really knows, unless the people share, what's happening in their life.
Right.
But all five of them have a mobile device, whether it's a PS thing or whether it's a phone, a tablet, or whatever.
Laptop.
Those are owned by corporations. Hmm. That information is being gathered into a computer system about you. What does that mean? That means the incorporated company knows more about your family than you do. I mean, you can imagine you sitting around in the family. You have some teenagers that are going through there, you know, and if they're, you know, what are you doing on the, oh, I'm just texting my friend.
Yeah.
But if you actually said what was in the text, it would be like, oh, I'm so bored sitting here with my parents, right? But they didn't communicate that.
Right.
But they did communicate it to the company.
Hmm.
And since there's locators on every phone, they know that your whole family's together because all your little phone and devices are together.
Your dot is there.
But what the kids don't know, the husband just texts the wife and said, oh, Lord, these kids are driving us crazy. So the kids don't know that. And so, but the company knows that. You see what I'm saying? They're gathering all this information about how you relate to people and how you think. And everybody's thinking because the people in front of me and the people that's close to me don't know it. Nobody knows it. So they're gathering all that on you.
Mm.
And it's going to be used. This whole thing, EMP might be a blessing if it shut down all the electronics that's going on. But we don't want an EMP, and we just ask that not to happen. But know that even in this storm, what God showed me was that and what he was saying through that dream was that we're going to defeat the enemy. The enemy's going to be defeated. Listen, America's sleeping right now. There's people in America that you're thinking, you know, where are the strong men at? Where are the people? They're working right now. They're at their jobs, and they're taking care of their families. But if you do, they're going to wake up. And they're going to respond. They're the ones that woke up in World War I. They're the ones that woke up in World War II. Yeah. They're the ones that woke up and said, listen, this is the right thing to do. And Rick Joyner, God showed him very specifically that there was going to be a people that wake up when this devouring spirit begins to go over the America and people begin to destroy, a destroying spirit, and destroying different things and very things that they need to be able to live on, that something's going to rise up. Potentially it could be the Second Amendment. You know,
maybe a tipping point.
A tipping point, but they're going to realize we got to deal with this evil because this evil is hurting our community and our families. We have to deal with it. And he said that was going to happen. It was going to be dealt with, and America's going to come back to a different place. Almost like a purging. Mm. Almost like a purging when you think about it. And you heard the mayor of Baltimore talk about just give them time to purge. And it's almost like the people who are moving in darkness is actually using the words that God's actually going to purge evil. Potentially, you know, from the land. But I want you to be encouraged that God's saying, listen, that this, though the enemy's big, if we cry out to God, like we talked about in our previous program, you got to get that program. We talked about it, even the offer that's up for you today, that you got to be able to humble yourself and cry out to God. God will deliver us from our enemy and understand how to be the, it's time to learn how to be the church. You can't multiply if you don't know how to multiply. You know, if you don't know about how to make disciples or how to be a disciple, it just doesn't just happen. You have to tell people. Even Jesus himself went to the next city to tell somebody about God. I mean, about the kingdom of God. He went himself. If Jesus went, we have to go. And what he says, listen, I want you to go tell them about me. But first, we have to become a disciple. The best way to prepare for what's going on, the way that we're going to win and defeat, is to begin to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, it's time to really, truly make him the Lord of your life by being his disciple, to know and to follow his teachings. And we have something for you. It's a wonderful road. It's called Emmaus Road, and we call it Emmaus Road because Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, 3 days after him paying the price for our sins, he was walking down Emmaus Road, a road to Emmaus with his disciples, and they didn't yet know who he was. And as he was revealing to them the scriptures, their hearts burned inside of them. So on the way to Emmaus, on Emmaus Road, God spoke to them, and their hearts burned as God spoke to them. That's what Emmaus Road's all about. We have that for anybody who wants to do it today. You can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org, says Hello Church. Hover over that. You'll see Emmaus Road and see which path you want to take. Mm-hmm. But this is, you're not prepared if you're not a disciple. If you have it, yes. As a matter of fact, I want you to see something. This is a dream that was given to Dimitri Duderman. You got to see this because 75% of the people were not prepared. They were not yet disciples. They didn't have the weapons they needed to be able to fight the fight against darkness. Mm. And listen to what happened. Watch what happened right here. These are people who chose not to go down, as we said, Emmaus Road to be a disciple. Take a look.
And he said, I just had a real strong dream. And he said, it was getting very dark. And as I looked around, there were many people around me. And somehow I knew that all these people were Christians. And as it began to get darker and darker, I saw an army coming. And all of the army was dressed in black except one. And that one exception was dressed in red. And it had a sign on his forehead. And he began to speak. He said, I am Lucifer, and I've come to make war against the children of God. And all the people, you know, became scared. And then Lucifer said, who has the strength, who thinks that they can stand against me? You know, go to the left. Those of you that don't even want to fight against me, go to your right. And he said that about only 25% of the people went to the left, and all the others herded to the right. And then Satan gave the order, attack all of those on the left, kill them. And as the army advanced and they surrounded the little group, this is that a light began to shine from heaven, and it surrounded the group. And a voice said, take out your swords and defend yourselves. And one of the people in the group asked, but what swords? And the voice said, the word of the Lord is your sword. Take it out and use it. And then they began to quote scripture from the Bible, and this army stopped advancing. And all of a sudden they began to sing this song. And the army got so scared that they began to run away. And then Satan became very furious. And he said, attack those on the right. And one by one, those on the right, you know, were all killed. They couldn't defend themselves. And then one of the people in the little group asked, how come those people couldn't be defended as we were? And the voice said, those people were lukewarm all their lives. They one foot in the world and one foot in the church. They never really had the word of God nor the power of God. And because of that, they could not be defended. And he said, the sun began to shine and all the black clouds began to disperse. And there was only one cloud left with Lucifer and his army on it. And Lucifer began to shake his fist at the little group. And then it disappeared. You know, and he said as he looked around, he saw many people that he recognized, you know, in the little group that he knew as Christian brothers. You know, so that was the dream.
The sword of the Lord is the word of God. And if you don't know the word, if you haven't, I believe it was 81% of Christians in America don't even pick up their Bible at all.
Mm-hmm.
And of the 19% that do, only 3% of them take it seriously in regards to applying it to their life. And you're looking at 25% had to even be told how to actually use the scriptures at that point. But 75% didn't. You need to arm yourself. Not with bullets. You need to arm yourself with the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God, scriptures, which is going down Emmaus Road to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Listen, he says very specifically, it cost you everything. Somebody told you it didn't cost you. He said it cost you everything. Yeah. It cost Jesus his life. It cost us everything. Unless you deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him, you can have no part of him. He said the road to destruction, to basically hell, is wide, and many people go that way. The road to eternal life is narrow. It's hard to get there, and few find it. You got to do something. You're not saved by works, but if you're not moving in works, you're not saved. You're going to have to begin to be his disciple. And Emmaus Road is right there for you right now. You can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org, hover over Hello Church. Mm-hmm. Emmaus Road's right there, and begin to get your journey. Get prepared for this day. This day is upon us. It's critical, as you saw in our previous program, that we're just sensing it. We feel it. I know that Pastor John Kilpatrick we had in our previous program to fill in the same thing. And we just need to respond. If you're fully armed with Scripture and knowing how to properly apply the Word of God, which means you have to begin to use and move and operate in it, Emmaus Road is perfect for that.
Absolutely.
It is totally perfect for that. So I want to encourage you today, get involved in Emmaus Road. Choose your path today, but let God begin to burn your heart as He reveals the Scripture to you. Get used to hearing His voice. Begin to abide with Him. You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. They go, I want to get serious with God. And they just kind of do some religious stuff. They order a book or something. We have a plan for you. It is totally free. You can request that plan today at iabide.org. It's a simple abiding plan. We'll walk you through a few little steps to be able to do it. It's free. It comes right to you in your email. All you have to do is go to iabide.org and request your simple abiding plan today. Be a disciple and abide with the one whose disciple you are, and everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be totally fine. Speaking of that, as things begin to escalate in regards to the kingdom of God and the church begins to multiply, because one thing the Lord said specifically in that night vision was the church is going to multiply through this, which means, you know, we're going to be disciples and we're going to make disciples and we're going to go out and tell people about the Lord. We're going to abide with Him and He's going to just, it's going to be awesome. Well, I think about this. I think about at Burlington, North Carolina.
Yes.
Where revival, a tent revival is taking place right there. A tent. One night they had the youth out there. Over 5,000 youth came in one particular
amazing
night. As a matter of fact, let's go there now.
In a state facing attack, God is on the move. The epicenter is Burlington, North Carolina, where growing crowds now meet under this tent. The tent director of the Burlington Revival says they're averaging around 2,500 to 3,000 people each night. Earlier this month, they held a youth night, and more than 5,000 people showed up. Now entering its eighth week, the revival began on Mother's Day at New Hope Baptist Church. The church began a one-week revival, and as it neared the end, Pastor Randy Hobbs and evangelist C.T. Townsend sensed that God wanted to do more.
Brother Randy got up and said, I don't believe God's done. And I said, I don't either. It's just amazing to be a part of this. This is something we've been praying for in our church for several years. We've been meeting over 15 years, praying for revival to touch us locally and nationally. And now we're seeing what we've been praying about. And to see how that God has just orchestrated this and how that God has brought it together.
The revival outgrew this sanctuary and eventually moved to this tent. Local businessman Don Cox allowed the tent to be put up on his property.
It's been absolutely amazing. The last time I remember anything remotely similar to this happening was in August of 1951 when I went to a tent meeting in Greensboro and a young evangelist by the name of Billy Graham was speaking.
In my wildest imaginations, I would have never thought that God would have done what He's done. You know, and it's just, every night I lay my head on my pillow and just stand amazed at what God's doing.
People from around the country are attending, and Townsend says more than 400 people have accepted Jesus Christ, including businessman D.R. Harrison.
I haven't been in church in over 11 years until 5.5 weeks ago. And every Sunday and Wednesday, my daughter would go down to the altar and pray for Daddy and Mama to get saved. God answered that little girl's prayer. I believe it with all my heart.
Ashley Cottle saw her six-year-old daughter accept Christ during a service.
We talked about it a little bit, and I said, do you think that Jesus is talking to you about something? And she said, I want to be saved. I'm grateful and I'm thankful that my children get to see this, because I think that they'll know, they'll always know that God is real.
A God who's real and a God who saves. Mark Martin, CBN News, Burlington, North Carolina.
That's so awesome. Oh, my
yes.
goodness. So we know about tents, man.
Yeah, we do. And we know about revivals. So
oh, we know about revivals and tents and all that wonderful stuff. And it's not contingent upon anything other than crying out for the Lord and the Lord moving. It doesn't matter where it is. Well, we have this wonderful opportunity. You know, we always close out in prayer, asking God to end abortion, send revival, and send a third great awakening. Well, coming up on September the 11th, 2016, at the Bayfront Auditorium is a gathering of believers on the Gulf Coast to be able to come and pray. Well, we did this in the year 2000.
Yeah.
And who was there was a spiritual father to me, Brother Ken Summerall. And he led one of the prayers that was going there today. We're going to hear that prayer in 2000. But also, we're going to go right into Pastor Ted Traylor and Pastor Joey Rogers inviting us to September 11, 2016, the Bayfront Auditorium. Let's go to Papakin now.
Now lift your hand toward this banner and pray for your own pastor just now. Just pray that God's hand would be upon your pastor. Father, we thank you for every God-fearing, every God-called man and woman of God, ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this place and all over this city tonight. We pray that you would send your protecting angels around them. We know the devil goes about seeking whom he may devour. May he not be able to devour one of our ministers in this city. We pray the Holy Spirit of God would stir our hearts. Stir our hearts, O Lord, to preach your word. Preach your word. Send your word into our hearts, Lord, for your people, that we may speak your word, edify them, build them up in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father, for these ministers here tonight. God bless them. We thank you for revival that has spread through this city. We ask you in Jesus' name that it'll touch every church, every heart, every minister in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spread your fire, Lord. Stir deep, 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 deep down in our hearts, Lord, and bring forth Holy Ghost words to your people. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And bless every pastor's wife here, Father. Every minister's wife. We bless them tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. We bless every chaplain. We bless every evangelist. We bless everyone, Lord, who's sharing your word in this city. Bless this city, Father. We love this city. We know you love this city. We thank you for pouring out your Holy Ghost on this city afresh and anew, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen and amen.
I'm Pastor Ted Traylor of Olive Baptist Church.
I'm Pastor Joey Rogers of Pace Assembly, and we want you to mark your calendars now for September the 11th at 6 p.m. for United in Prayer.
We're excited about bringing our churches together, and we want to invite you to join us at the Pensacola Bay Center on 9/11. We need spiritual awakening in our community.
And this is the time to gather the church. September the 11th, 6 p.m. at the Pensacola Bay Center.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-outright attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. find him, meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.